Everyone, you all here tonight to hear a message preached from God's Word. I'd like to say to the visitors that we have, welcome. And if you hear anything that you'd like to know more about, or if anything's different from what you're used to, please come find one of us and we can explain it to you and all be from God's Word and why we worship the way we do. Tonight, I will be focusing on love, sacrificial love, and how it relates to a servant's attitude. And when we think of a sacrificial love, we usually think of Jesus's love towards us, how he died on the cross, how he came to this earth, lived a perfect life, lived a sinless life, endured everything that we endure each and every day in our life, but still managed to get through this life sinless and go to the cross where he died and suffered such pain and anguish just for us, sinful people. Another type of love we think about would be God's love towards us. I know this quarter, Marley has a memory verse of 1 John 4:10, and they paraphrase it down for them. It is, God loved us and sent his son. That is true love right there. I couldn't imagine giving up either one of my daughters for anyone, no matter how much I love them or care for them. It'd just be hard for me to give up my child for someone I know that most of the time, most of the people there would not respect the word. And we read in John chapter 15, as it was just mentioned in the song we sang, in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. So as I've talked about, just usually when we think of some type of sacrificial love or sacrificial attitude towards someone, it's usually towards us giving up a life or someone giving up their life for someone else. But what I want to talk about tonight is the other type of sacrificial love, our deeds, our acts, our kindness towards others. What I mean by that is when we put others' needs before our own, when we do things for others when it is not necessarily the best time for us to do it, or it may go out of our way to help someone. Just for example, helping someone out more so than just if they were to come forward and say, you know, I need help, I'm struggling with this, just say I'm praying for you. Go about the way, make sure that we're holding them accountable. Make sure we're, you know, taking them out to dinner and just helping them out, whatever it may be, so that way they see that we truly do care for them. We're not just, you know, three times a week friends or acquaintances in by that case. Let's turn a couple pages over to John chapter 13. And we'll see Jesus' example of this type of sacrificial love, starting in verse 4. This is prior to the Passover, before Judas was to betray him and he was to die on the cross. Starting in verse 4, and we'll read through verse 15. I'm sorry, I marked that wrong. Let's just start in... I'll begin in verse 6. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to them, Lord, why do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to them, What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you all. For he knew one was who was betraying him. For this reason he said, Not all of you are clean. So when he had washed his feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then the Lord and the teacher wash your feet, you also ought to wash your feet, also wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. So we see here that Jesus, in verse 13-14, said that they call him Lord and called him teacher. And we, just from historical evidences, historical writings, we know that lords and teachers at this time would not stoop to that level to clean someone else's feet. That would be a servant's work that for them to do, but for them to see their Lord and Master and Savior and Jesus Christ bend over and wash their feet, that's something they need to remember and do it to others as he has done to him. And it's hard for us to think of this, at least it is for me, because right now we have all probably have shoes on that cover our feet, all have socks that we can go out and walk on a paved road, a paved concrete path to get to our destination. But here, as we probably know, it's probably open-toed sandals, probably dirt roads, and their feet probably more disgusting than we've probably ever seen or experienced before. And for our Lord and Savior to bend over and wash these disciples' feet, and not knowing what type of filth would be on his garment afterward, it's humbling to know that he would do that for us. Jesus put his needs before his own, and that he wanted them to remember that as they go throughout their life. If we turn over, keep your finger in John chapter 13, but turn back to 1 John chapter 2. And I'll read verse 3. By this we know we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So we see here John's talking about we know God if we keep his commandments. If we obey what he says, we'll get to know God. We'll live our lives in God's word, and we'll live our life with God and spend eternity with God if we follow his commandments. And in John 13, verse 34, a commandment he was referring to would probably be, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So in John 13, I'm not sure what time frame has passed, but when Jesus said this to his disciples, I'm sure they probably had the image of Jesus bending over, washing their feet after their journey where they had been. And a lot of times we refer to the golden rule, do unto others as you want done to yourself. With that, it is very focused and you guide by yourself, how you want to be treated. But with this new commandment Jesus gives us, it is solely focused on Jesus as our guide, Jesus as our example, to live our life as he treated others and to treat others as he treated those here on earth. Before Zach comes up here and presents the invitation, I like to read the servant song out of a book. It's 591. Make me a servant just like your son, for he was a servant, please make me one. Make me a servant, do what you must do, to make me a servant, make me like you. Make me a servant, take all my pride, for I will be lowly, humble inside. Giving to others what all that I do, in love for my brother, make me like you. Make me a servant, filled by your might, and may all my labors shine with your light. Show me your footsteps and what I should do, for now and forever, make me like you. So we see here the second verse, it states, take all my pride that I would be lowly, humble inside. So we see there that's to be truly like Jesus, we have to get rid of our pride. We have to become humble, we have to become low, and put others before us and do the work that Jesus has set aside. Now Zach would come forward and offer the invitation.
Good evening. To continue with our study on love, I'm going to be looking at being righteous. We've looked at what showing love to others looks like and how that sacrificial love and how we are to mimic that and that commandment. But how do we demonstrate our love for God? In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's look at 1 John that we were just looking at with Stephen, but let's go to chapter 2, verse 29. So this will be 1 John 2, 29 through chapter 3, verse 10. It reads, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning, and no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. But by this it is evident who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Here we see that the Apostle John is referring to in this letter, the he that he is referring to is Jesus. In order to be with Christ and in order to be a child of God, we must live righteously. We must turn away from sin and we must be a shining light in the world. As the passage said, we cannot be righteous and continue to live in sin. Christ and sin cannot coexist together. So we must choose which one is going to drive our daily decisions. Who are we going to follow? Is it going to be the devil and live in lawlessness? Or are we going to look to God for guidance and live in righteousness? Now let us look at a story that most of us are probably pretty familiar with, the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. So Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, read, "And behold, a man came up to him, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had many great possessions." Jesus uses the example of the rich young ruler to show that being righteous is more than just being a good moral person. In today's world, there's a popular teaching that if you live your life by these simple moral laws, that and you are considered just an all-around good person, God will have mercy on you and you will go to heaven when this life is over. This teaching is very dangerous because it gives people a false assurance of something that's not only false, but something that directly opposes God's word, as we've just read here in this example. You have to be willing to sacrifice everything in order to follow Jesus and have eternal life. We must make living our life in the way that God commands, and we must make that our number one priority. This means following all of his commandments, not just the ones that we choose to. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Romans 1, 16 through 17 reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteousness shall live by faith." Here Paul tells us that in order to be righteous, we must have faith and look to God's word for instructions on how to live. We do not have to guess what God commands of us, or what we do not have to guess what he wants from us and how we want to live our life. We have his word, and it is revealed to us. We can look, and we need to take the responsibility to read it for ourselves and determine what is it we need to do in order to have that promise of an eternal life. As Christians, we are to live our life following Jesus' example. During Jesus' time on earth, he was righteous in obeying God and following his commandments. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9 reads, So Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We know that Jesus did not sin, but more than just not sinning, he showed us what we need to do in order to follow God's commandments and follow his laws in order to be righteous and be pleasing unto him. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, we read of one commandment that Jesus shows us as an example. So Matthew 3, verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan and to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, and thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Verse 15 here tells us that when Jesus was baptized, he fulfilled all righteousness. If we truly want to be pleasing to God, this is a commandment that we also must follow. Baptism is essential for salvation. And as we saw with the rich young ruler, even if we are a good moral person and we live our life according to man's laws, we are not fulfilling God's laws unless we fulfill all of his commandments. We will not be counted with the righteous and given a home in heaven if we do not follow the commandment of baptism for the remission of our sins. In Acts chapter 2, the question was asked, what must be done to be saved? Peter responded with, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have never been baptized, we urge you to take that step this evening. We have everything that is ready. Everything is prepared. All you have to do is make that decision to come forward, confess Jesus' name, repent of your sins, confess of the faith that you have in him, that he is the Son of God, and you can ensure yourself with a hope in heaven by being baptized here this evening. If you are already a Christian and you have a sin that you would like to wish to confess, or if you have a request of the congregation, now would be the time to come forward and take care of that this evening also. If there is anything that we can assist you with tonight, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.